Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 14, Text number 6. Vritrastu sakatham papaha. Sarva loka patapanah itam dridamati krishna asit sangrama ulbane vritrastu sakatham papah sarva loko patapanah itam dridamati krishna asit sangrama ulbane vritrah vritrasu tu but saha he katham how papah although sinful getting the body of a demon sarva loka of all the three worlds upatapanah the cause of suffering itham such dridamati firmly fixed intelligence Krishna in Krishna asit there was sangrame ulbane in the great blazing fire of battle translation Vritrasura was situated in the blazing fire of battle and was an infamous sinful demon always engaged in giving troubles and anxieties to others how could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious please repeat Vritrasura was situated in the blazing fire of battle and was an infamous sinful demon always engaged in giving troubles and anxieties to others how could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious purport it has been described that a Narayana Parayana A pure devotee is rarely found even among millions and millions of persons. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was surprised that Vritrasura, whose purpose was to give trouble and anxiety to others, was one of these devotees, even on a battlefield. What was the reason for Vritrasura's advancement?
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unamilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vritrastu Sakatam Papa Sarva Lokupatapana Itham Dridamati Krishna Asit Sangrahama Ulbani. Vritrasura was situated in the blazing fire of battle and was an infamous sinful demon, always engaged in giving troubles and anxiety to others. How could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when someone would offer obeisances to him, would bless them by saying, Krishna Matir Astu, may you become Krishna conscious. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is using the word Itham Drida Mati Krishna. Mati Krishna. To be Krishna conscious. Mati Krishna. The greatest difficulty in the material world is to be Krishna conscious. That is the hardest, most difficult achievement. One can achieve many things materially, including becoming wealthy, long-lived, beautiful, successful. One can become a demigod, but one may not be able to be Krishna conscious. It is that difficult. And here, a demon, he's not just Krishna conscious, he's Drida Mati Krishna. He's very unfalteringly Krishna conscious. Very determined, very fixed, unwavering. So, in the previous purport, the Srila Prabhupada goes to great length to explain how, out of many millions and millions of people who want to become liberated, and those who are liberated amongst millions of such people, hardly there is one person who is to be found who is Krishna conscious. And Vritrasura is amongst them. He is also not just Krishna conscious, but very fixed Krishna consciousness, firmly fixed intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada uses the synonym for Mati as conscious as well as intelligence. So this is a difficulty. After all, this Krishna conscious challenge is very difficult. And yet we find Srila Prabhupada has distributed it to everyone very freely. How is that? Katham? The same question comes up, that Parikshit Maharaj, that Katham, how is it possible? Especially Papa, the Ritra was called an Asura because he was an Asura. He was a demon. He wasn't a demigod. He wasn't full of the saintly qualities. He was full of demonic qualities. Despite that, he was Krishna conscious. So, to be Krishna conscious, to have intelligence fixed on Krishna, how is it possible if we are sinful? Mami partha vyapashritya yepi supa payonaya. That the papa yoni, those who are born in a sinful family, sinful circumstance, Krishna says they can come to me. Tepi yanti paramgati. They can attain me, they can attain this Krishna consciousness, this firm, fixed, unwavering intelligence on Krishna. And this is what Srila Prabhupada has freely distributed everywhere. It's a remarkable thing. People remark at the charity, the generosity of many people in giving their wealth, but not all their wealth, just some of it. And they remark on it as something very great, very honorable. They remark at people's attempt to help others who are poor, who are deprived. Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Krishna Balram, Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar, Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki. Everyone is very impressed by such generosity and magnanimity of people. But consider for a second that even when you try to be Krishna conscious, you are unable to be. You're unable, even if you try. So what is to be said of a person who distributes it to you, to people who did not even desire to be Krishna conscious in the first place? They were simply engaged in sinful activity. This is the position of Srila Prabhupada. It's not ordinary in the least. Even by the standards of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not ordinary. It is completely extraordinary. One person who was sinful is being glorified in number of chapters in the sixth canto. One person. His Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying him also. He is amazed that he was Krishna conscious. This asur was Krishna conscious. He is not doubting it, he is not disputing it. It is a fact. And he is so amazed, he wants to know how. How did it become possible? It's not possible. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarveir gunesh tatra samasate sura. The person who is Krishna conscious, he has all the qualities of the demigods, all the saintly qualities, all the good qualities. So how does a person who is dispossessed of such qualities, how does he become? He is glorifying, he's thinking this is a very key point. This is an amazing point. And as the chapter unfolds, we will discover it's the mercy of great sage Angira and Nardamu. It's so their mercy on one asura is being glorified. One person. And it's kind of hard to have a perspective of the extent of the greatness of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in this perspective, in comparison to this topic of Vritrasura. This Srimad Bhagavatam is referred to in other literature by that literature which tells the story of Vritra. This is how the Srimad Bhagavatam is referred to in all the other Puranas. because Srimad Bhagavatam is known for having this very particular leela of Vritrasura, in greatly elaborated. And that a sinful person, he is fully Krishna conscious. He is so Krishna conscious. He is conscious, Krishna conscious in battle, while he is being killed. He is Krishna conscious. It's an extremely high level of fixed Krishna consciousness. There is something called Komal Shraddha, very delicate faith, which can be easily affected. So, Vritrasura has very strong faith. Unwavering, cannot be affected. And this is the potency of a pure devotee. This is when Prabhupada gives an example, when the man is potent and the woman is fertile, there is procreation. So the potent spiritual master, the potent pure devotee, and the suitable disciple, recipient, submissive, then Krishna consciousness becomes possible. This is the answer to the word katam. How? How does a papa? So in other words, even if you are sinful, if you want, you can be fully Krishna conscious. Sinful circumstances are not a disqualification. They're not a disqualification. This is a pretty important point. You know, when the incident comes to mind, I think it was Gurudas Prabhu. He went to Vrindavan in the market, and somebody said to him, well, if you carry on like this, next life you will become a brahmana. And so he told Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said to him, you should have told him, if you carry on living in Vrindavan, one day you'll become a devotee in ISKCON. So the potency, so we may have disqualifications. But the one disqualification you must not have is to be unsubmissive to a pure devotee, because it's dependent upon that. In other words, we are glorifying this whole leela is glorifying how transcendental is this process of surrendering to a pure devotee of the Lord. Simply surrendering. Simply, you have no other qualification. You are devoid of any pious qualifications. You are a papa. You are sinful. But somehow, you have this ability to surrender to a pure devotee. It is possible to be Dhrida Mati Krishna. Very fixed in Krishna. This is the highest attainment, the most difficult attainment. And it is possible in this way. It's a very profound meditation. This is why the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam is a powerful process. Simply by hearing, by chanting, and by remembering this process of pure devotional service, just doing this, you become perfect. You become Krishna conscious. And this is what we're being asked to hear, to chant, and to remember. This is what? This is the subject. There is sometimes confusion that because it says Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, that if I simply think of Krishna, chant Krishna's name, That's enough. Prabhupada explained, Krishna is not an ordinary person, just like a king is not. A king is not alone. He has in his entourage. But he also has a kingdom. There's a lot of knowledge about a king. So when he says Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, it means Vishnu and Vishnu Bhakti and devotees of Vishnu. Everything. Everything. To hear and to chant and to remember everything about Vishnu is pure devotional service. So here, actually, in one sense, Krishna is not being discussed. A demon is being discussed. But his Krishna consciousness is being discussed. His Krishna consciousness. So this has the secret. This has the secret that we're looking for. I wanted to share something with you. This being the 50th anniversary of the creation of ISKCON in 1966 in New York. Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture in 1966 in New York, when we have no temple, it's not even in 22nd Avenue, this lecture. He says, I appeal to you all to please. This is 1966. Some of the people are there only for a few days, a few weeks. And most is 1 year. I appeal to you all to help me to spread Krishna consciousness to everybody. He appeals to everybody. His students, the people listening to his class. Most of them are not initiated. And so this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. Although we're in Vrindavan, and yesterday Bhuvan Neshwar Prabhu was talking about 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. And yes, they're all centered around Krishna, but nobody has what Srila Prabhupada has, this mood. This very Dhrida Mati Krishna, this very focused Krishna consciousness in which he wants to give Krishna to others. So we are the recipients of that mood. We're in that parampara. And it behooves us to meditate a little bit how the specific mood of our founder Acharya around the Srimad Bhagavatam, about the story of Vritrasura, is to want to give Krishna consciousness to others. This, to deliver to people, are looking for, they're not even looking for broken pieces of glass. They're just simply suffering. Simply, purely, unadulterated suffering. That's all. They're not even looking for broken pieces of glass. Forget about looking for and getting a diamond. But Srila Prabhupada wants us to give this to the fallen people. That never mind they're fallen. They are fallen. They really, truly are fallen. It is a very fallen age. Everything is impure. The ether, the air, the water, the food, everything is impure. Association is impure. But whilst being surrounded in an ocean of impurity, kaler dosh nidhe rajan, dosh nidhe, it is possible. Asti ek mahan guna. There is one great. And it is not so much private, personal chanting of the holy name. It is preaching it, giving it to others. Through Harinam Sankirtan, through Prabhupada's books, we not only have to hand out the book, but to teach the book, to explain, my dear sir, look what it says. Look what it is possible for them to understand. This is what Srila Prabhupada has proven. It is possible for a foreigner, a Westerner, a sinful person to understand. This is amazing. You would think they cannot understand. Parikshit Maharaj says, how is it possible? It's papa. Katham. But it is possible. This is what Shukadev Goswami is going to explain. So this giving of Krishna consciousness is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Is the special, specific mood that is not to be found in any other person who is a Krishna devotee outside of Srila Prabhupada's own followers. Not to be found. That particular mood. And he is delivering, if somebody wants, pure love of Godhead. I mean, Vritrasura was a person in Shanta Ras. Srila Prabhupada is giving Madhurya Ras. Even, this is like completely on another scale. It's hard to fully comprehend. But this is a wonderful story about a person. See, don't make the mistake of thinking, well, he was Chitraketu. The story is saying, Papa, that we don't know what you were in your last life. But this life, we know you were Papa. We do know. And frankly speaking, everyone in their past life, which past life we don't know, you were a pure devotee, you were in Goloka. But today you are Papa, you're here. So that question has to be answered today. How to deliver a person who is sinful? This is very powerful meditation. This is the highest charity. Do not compare, do not make the mistake of thinking opening a temple, a hospital, a school for free to the poor is equivalent. Nothing comes close. If you made people demigod, it does not come close. It is so powerful. And Srila Prabhupada says in that lecture where he appeals to the devotees to help him, and he says it costs you nothing. There is no cost. Zero. So, but there is this appeal that we willingly, voluntarily agree to abide by the bidding of a pure devotee. That's the essence. Thank you very much for your patience. Are there any questions or comments? The mic is behind you. Oh, there's one here. Yeah, I stand corrected. He was Dasaras. I, while speaking, going through all the rasas, I thought of Shanta and missed the Dasya. Thank you. Attentive hearing. Any other question or point? History of? It seems in the history.
There is not much healing in his previous lives. And his previous life was actually engaged in some treatment work by the Lord.
Right.
So there is also discussion about the people who is in the temple of God.
This is called a very relevant question to the class, what you've just said. Yesham to antagatam papam janana punya karmana te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajante mam drida prata. One is unable to take up Krishna consciousness, bhajante mam, worship Krishna, with drida prata, unless he's free from all papa. Okay, this is totally relevant now. Now this requires a little explanation. Because here, and this is what Parikshit Maharaj is saying, how it is a papa. Now you see, I want to explain. First of all, Vritrasura is papa. That birth is papa. Asura means sinful. You see, that his birth was as an asura. I mean, he could eat others, human, everything. You know, that was his birth. That's what his ahar, his eating. He's not a saintly person. He's not a sadhu. He's a demon. Body. Now the point is, your point is, Bhagavad Gita says that unless one is free from papa, all sinful, one cannot do drida vrata. So this requires an explanation. Is that, I mean, are you with me? Are you agreeing?
Okay.
Please.
To me it seems that, you know, he was the first very king, and then after he was engaged in some treatment. So to me it seems that he just knows what to do with the issues of his, and he seems that he could have. And then the whole arrangement in Mother Mara imprisoned him was just to accelerate.
Yeah, but it's taking the form. It's taking the form of a sinful birth. Okay. The point is this. We don't know our genesis. Genesis means the story behind the story we're seeing today. We don't know. Yours, mine, anybody, we don't know. But at some point, we were all in Goloka. We were all pure spirit souls. Part and parcel of Krishna. This is not our home. We did leave our home. But today, right now, we have sharirar avidyaja. We have a network of paths leading us to hell. Our body, our mind, our senses. This is our condition. Whatever the story before, whatever. So taking it from where we see it, how does a person who is sinful, has been sinful, how does he take up dridha vrata, a very serious Krishna consciousness? Bhagavad Gita says you can't. That shloka, that verse says you can't. Here, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, how did this one do it? So that's the explanation in the coming verses. But in short, I try to explain that pure devotional service, surrendering to a pure devotee, transcends the normal disqualifications. That's the normal procedure, that unless you are very pious, punya karmanam, for long, long time, you cannot graduate, you cannot go towards Krishna consciousness. But there is a bypass, there is a Yamuna expressway, there is a fast road, and that requires surrender to a pure devotee of Krishna. Then you bypass the normal. Normally you cannot do it. The Brijavasi was correct. Normally you go from this life to another, to another, to another, until you come to such a pure state of life that you are fully Krishna conscious. But this path of surrendering to a pure devotee bypasses. But it has to be done properly. Chitraketu does that. So even, now it's interesting, there's no mention of a pure devotee he surrendered to while an asura. But he remembers, he recalls the instruction of his spiritual master from before. So pure devotional service has many intricacies. They're not all simple, straightforward, you know, 1, 2, 3, that's it. There are some intricacies involved. But the principle is that just like one devotee said to Prabhupada, if I look at my life, I don't have the qualifications that lead me to being Krishna conscious. So I don't have the Sukriti, he said. Prabhupada said, I am your Sukriti. I made it. So there is this point here. Now we're taking advantage of this. And we want to distribute this to others. We want others who may not be qualified to have it also. But it has to be done. Like Srila Prabhupada is the example to follow. How it is done? How do you give Krishna consciousness to a person who is not qualified? That is what we have to learn from the example of Srila Prabhupada. That's where the detail is. How it is done? Prabhupada one time said it takes gallons of blood to make one person Krishna conscious. Just one person. It takes gallons of blood. So there is a lot of effort involved. But it is the compassion of, just like a mother is very determined to make her child who is unwilling to learn. You know, mothers have this experience. How they have to overcome the obstinacy of the child who only wants to play, who only wants to enjoy, does not want to do anything remotely involving hard work. So people are predisposed to sinful life very, very much. But like a mother, the devotee has to be very compassionate and they will change. That's what Srila Prabhupada has proven. People will change. Is that okay? If you want to pursue, you can. Okay, there are two points here. One is the point specific to Vritrasura, to King Chitraketu. One is specific to him. One is the general principle that it illustrates. We are talking about the general principle that it illustrates. The specific point about Chitraketu himself will be discussed as the pages unfold. We will go into more detail. But there's a principle that applies to us. We're not Chitraketu, right? It's not a slight. In other words, we're not talking about ourselves as people who were more or less pure devotees, but just got accidentally cursed. Here the comparison is being made. Parikshit Maharaj makes this. He says he's Papa. Shukadev Goswami, by the way, does not dispute that he's Papa, you see. Of all the discussion, he does not dispute that Vritrasura was not Papa. My dear king, don't call him Papa. He does not say that. He tells him, Katam, he answers the point Katam. How it happened, I'll tell you. That's all. But he is Papa. And the point Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in the verse before today, that this applies to us. Papa applies to us. Chitraketu story may not apply to us, but Papa does. And Dridhamati Krishna applies to us if we learn from the lesson. Does that make sense? Pass.
Lord Shiva says that
Right.
So my understanding is that this pastor illustrates how even the devotee is not substantially and enters to a so-called bhavivani, his bhakti cannot be influenced by it.
Right. It's transcendental even to... Well, actually, the point of this leela is that it's transcendental even to curses. And we're speaking of powerful curses. You don't get much more powerful a curse than from Mother Parvati. But pure devotional service is unaffected. That's... There are many... points to be drawn from this leela, right? But you see, again, I emphasize Srila Prabhupada's own mood. I particularly am partial to Prabhupada's mood, and his mood will change also. But he likes the mood of where it's relevant to us, rather than having a theoretical understanding of Chitra. Chitra Ketu needs no understanding from us. He doesn't need our sympathy or our support. But we need to derive some lesson from this, relevant to us. Srila Prabhupada's mood, if you study all the purports, is always from that angle, rather than worrying about the esoteric, you know, philosophical situation of the leela. We're not really pundits, you know. Forgive me for saying this, but Prabhupada did say, we're not pundits. We're just aspiring devotees. We have no qualification. We have no ability to actually be pundits, to understand the intricacies of the details. People pretend to, but they have no adhikar. It's very easy mistake to make because there are so many commentaries available of acharyas who had a comment on this. But it's not healthy. Prabhupada's own view was, don't do it. You simply understand what is relevant to you. Somebody asked Prabhupada, what is the relationship between Lord Balaram and Radharani? Prabhupada became very angry. Now there may be somebody who thinks, I can explain, but Prabhupada's response was very angry. He rebuked that devotee very strongly, not mildly. The word used was very angrily. Prabhupada was extremely angry. So I would discourage any kind of... You see, this is where Dridha Matir, it's not so easy to be Krishna conscious because the mind likes to speculate. No, I know. I've been 7 days in the movement. I'm pretty good. Ask me, I'll tell you. No, don't do it. Savdhan. Don't do it. You're walking in dangerous waters now. Save yourself. Be careful. Arsha prayog. Eat the remnants of the predecessor acharya. Don't go and eat bhoga. Simply accept it as it is. Right or wrong, I understand or I don't. Prabhupada would say of his spiritual master, sometimes I understood what he said, sometimes I did not. But I continue to listen very submissively to everything he would say. This is the example we should follow. This is my request to all the learned pundits. Don't be a learned pundit. Don't do it. This is the best advice I can give. Submissive oral reception. You know, in Hindi, jutta. Eat the jutta. Eat the remnants of the pure devotee. If he did not go into that topic, you don't go. Guru mare murkha dekhi karila shasan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, my spiritual master saw me, Nimai Pandit, the greatest scholar of his time, murkha. And he's accepting it. He's saying, yes, I'm murkha. Karila shasan. He overruled me. This is the life of the follower of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Srila Prabhupada did not create pandits. He created submissive followers of his instruction. And as a side benefit, they also were very learned. It's a side benefit. It's not the main benefit. You know, like your medicines have side effects? You become paralyzed, deaf, dumb, and die. Well, the side benefit of following Srila Prabhupada's instruction is you also become learned. It's a small thing. It's not a big thing. With that and the bell, thank you very much. Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.